Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Keith
Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show.
We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show.
What's up, guys? This is the Arrow After Show. This is Season 1, Episode 23, Sacrifice, and it is the season finale, so we are going to go on a little hiatus pretty soon.
So sad right now.
It was a really good season finale too. I think I can live for the next couple months. It wasn't too cliffhanger-y.
I was upset. I was not expecting the end. That's what I loved about it, is because it took me someplace I absolutely did not expect it to go.
Yeah, I did not expect that either. I mean, considering our predictions in the past, it was completely out of left field.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, Anne, what did you think of it?
Shocked. Very shocked.
Yeah.
Could not have predicted it.
Definitely. No. They hit it really
well. But you know
what?
There's something that the producers have said about the show is the fact that, yeah, they're using the comic book as a guideline, but at the same time, they're almost using that as a way to give us big surprises, because it's not necessarily going to go the way we think.
I know. And I think that's what makes it so good.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's no fun when you can predict what's going to happen and it totally plays out in an obvious way. So this was so much better.
Yeah.
Really shows the caliber of the show.
You guys, I am Kaori talking, by the way. We just want to jump into it. And
I'm Kelly.
Hi, I'm Allie Kona Bradford.
Hi, I'm Anne.
Yeah, I tend to do that because I just keep going into the show.
So excited.
Especially this episode. Let's start from the top, where we start off with the island background, and we find out, we're reminded that Robert shoots himself.
You know,
and the third guy on the raft.
Yeah, but you know what? I feel like we got so many surprises, like so many answers to so many questions in this episode. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the dad had gotten shot, but I didn't realize, and maybe I just missed it in the first episode, that he shot himself.
They showed that it was the same scene they played in the beginning, that he shot the other guy and then shoots himself.
The same thing.
Like, it was a
reminder for us viewers.
Okay, so in the first episode, it also talked about him saying that there's not enough food for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That was the reason why he shot that one, and then he waited a minute, and then he shot. I don't think the scene was that fast in the very beginning. Right. I think they chatted for a little while longer before he shot himself.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was basically like that. It's basically the same, just sped up a little.
No, it was a good reminder of what exactly happened and the trauma that Oliver had watching his father shoot himself. Like, as no
you couldn't even imagine. And it's not even that he just shot himself in a way of, I'm sad, I'm shooting myself. I'm shooting myself because I'm sacrificing myself for you, which was the huge theme in tonight's episode.
Time.
And it was
so
in everything. I mean, you noticed several characters were saying it on multiple occasions.
I think every single character sacrificed something for somebody else.
Yeah, they really did.
They certainly did. Especially the last one. Did any of you guys have any tears come out of your...
I did.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I definitely teared up.
I was like, for you, I will. Just like Monica, you know? So, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, flash forward from the quick island memory, and we have Oliver in chains.
Dude, amazing scene, first of all.
For him to get out of them? Yeah. Of course it was.
But I was like, looking at him crawl up the chain thinking, are you for real right now?
Yeah.
And on top of that, we know that he's been doing more of his own stunts lately.
He's certainly been doing that.
I couldn't even imagine.
No, that was amazing, and it was nuts. I was really thinking, too, how is he going to get out of that? And I didn't expect that.
Right.
But it was
pipe broke that was holding the chains and he crashed on the ground, the whole scene in general was like,
you jumped when that happened, I think.
Well, what's interesting is Malcolm, he said, I hope I didn't hurt you. I took note of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, how genuine really is that?
Well, I think Malcolm was just in such shock that it was Oliver that he's like, crap, I've been going against this guy for so long.
I've been whooping him every single time.
Yeah, he really does. And he didn't kill him. He walked out. And, Oliver's upset. He said, you murdered my father. You sentenced me to 5 years of hell. And you're going to destroy the Glades. And Malcolm's like, yep. Well,
he was like, sorry.
sorry for what you went through.
Yeah.
Too bad.
Was Malcolm extra evil this episode?
Yes.
He was amazing. Yeah.
Totally spazzed out.
Yeah.
Like when he was, not to jump at too much, but when he was talking to Tommy, he just calm, and then like literally his face turned red.
Yes.
It was crazy.
He totally pulled a Nick Cage. It was crazy. I really liked him in this episode. And, I hopefully will see a lot more of him in the next coming season.
Well, shoot, we're guessing so, because the person we thought that was going to take his place is obviously not going to take his place.
Oh, don't say that. I still imagine like an angel from up above or something.
We got to have some flashbacks or something.
Yeah. But see, Oliver did not escape alone. We had Diggle who came to his rescue as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Am I the only one that's worried that Diggle is still on that roof with the Dark
Archer?
went to another part of the roof, though, didn't they?
I hope so.
I think they went to another part when he... Or weren't they coming down?
Well, yeah, he had, because Oliver had him.
Yeah, I think they were walking out.
At you.
Is that the same part of the roof? I mean...
Wait, maybe they were walking down. I don't know. You guys will have to remind us, because it was so much going on that I didn't really pay attention to where they were standing, but I thought that they had walked out of the building and were on the street, and that's when he took off. Oh. But maybe he was still on the roof.
I thought he was still up there, too. Were they just chatting and chilling
chilling on the roof with
Dark Archer coming out behind him?
I'm still wondering how the heck he got onto the roof, because when we last left him, he got stabbed... I don't know.
Yeah, pretty bad.
He crawled up the stairs, because when he walks out, he's still on the ground when he opens that door.
I was kind of hoping Tommy would help him out a little bit, because they were kind of in the same vicinity, but Tommy ran straight to
Laurel.
Which
that annoyed me. Like, her dad is on the phone with her, I'm about to die, get out. And she's still there trying to save files.
Yeah, like why aren't you running and talking, multitask at the same time?
I can't even. That was the most annoying part of it all.
Those files sacrifice some other person's life.
But, okay, first of all, it was announced on the news that there's about to be a huge catastrophe.
I think she's the only one that didn't sacrifice anything.
Oh, she did because she saved Joanna, whom we haven't seen in a while, right? Her best friend that works at the...
But did she really? Everybody was running out.
She kind of let her go before her,
And
then
But she went back to get papers.
Yeah.
True.
So it wasn't really like, I'm rescuing. It was kind of like, get out, while I go back in and get more files.
But why is she there in the first place? She already had the warning from Oliver.
She's a workaholic.
Well, she had the warning from Dad. And once the room started shaking, you probably should have gotten out of it.
Yeah.
She was probably just completely...
She's a hot mess.
Doesn't care, disregards it.
You know who I'm worried about? Is Felicity. Because she's telling Oliver about what's going on, the room is shaking around
her.
She's
crying. And she's scared.
Because I was like, I don't know if she's crying at first because of Laurel. Then I was like, no. She's got to be crying because, like you said, she's scared.
She's scared.
I don't think she was scared that she was going to die. She knew she was kind of in the safe zone. But it is traumatic. Imagine if all these things were shaking and things were falling around you, of course.
Right. Well, especially when you're not used. That's an area that doesn't get earthquakes. Mm-hmm. These people aren't used to what that is. I remember when I experienced my first earthquake, it was not fun, and it wasn't even that big.
Right.
So I can't even imagine, sitting there going through that.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I think she was in a safe zone,
so
to speak.
Yeah. Well, while Malcolm was talking to Oliver while he was in chains, he did mention, he said, you're younger, you're faster, but you still come short because Oliver doesn't know what he's fighting for or what he's willing to sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good line. Yeah. Really good line. Mm-hmm.
So that you knew that he was going to figure out, I know what I'm going to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And then we all sacrificed. This is going to be the big topic of the season finale is...
Well, the thing that I liked about their kind of, you know, banter back and forth when he's in chains is he says, you know, Oliver asks him, do you really think that that's going to, you know, make it better? Is that really going to honor the memory of your, you know, Tommy's mother?
Right.
And are you sure? And he's like, as sure as you are that you're honoring your father.
Right.
By wearing this cut. And I really liked that comparison because it's true. It's two sides of that coin. I mean, because Oliver still is doing kind of evil things.
Right.
To avenge his father, which is pretty much in line with what Malcolm's doing, just in a more kind of,
Well, Malcolm has, need to destroy a whole entire city.
Right. He's willing to take out lives that aren't even relevant to what happened to his wife just because of the fact that when she was dying, people were passing her on the street. And that's why he feels like they all
it's
deserve
everybody's
to die.
Fault. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's everybody's fault. Whereas Oliver's just taking him out one by one. Certain people.
Right.
So it's still a pretty close kind of thing. But it's on how you look at it.
Well, and maybe that's just me playing Oliver's side, but he's doing it as a means to let me stop somebody who will further continue to hurt other people. They're the cause of all
the prison. I'm not saying like it's good. I'm just saying like they have a lot more in common than I think that it came to light, I think, for Oliver moment. That's just kind of what I mean.
And we've talked about that this whole time what are they fighting for? They are very similar and the moral code always comes into question. And I think finally Oliver woke up and was like, oh, yeah, we are kind of the same, aren't we?
So. Yeah.
Well, speaking of moral code, Oliver runs to his mother and begs for help. And what does Moira do? She does the right thing. She redeems herself.
But the first time around, when Oliver said we need to do something, that thousands of people will die, and she said, I'm not their mother.
Well, yes.
She came around.
Yes.
She came around. I mean, to sit there and do that and admit what's going on, she saved a lot of people.
But do you think she did that to prevent Oliver from doing something crazy? Because she doesn't know that he's the Hood, but when he walked out of that room, he said that somebody's going to make this right. Somebody has to try to stop
this. I think she just realized that, because she did say this during her conference, whatever, that what's the point of saving her family if she annihilates people? She wouldn't be able to live like that anymore because she's already loaded with guilt.
Right.
So I think
I believe that, though. I think that she did it to save Oliver. I think it was still very personal, and she knew that he was going to go off and do whatever he was going to do anyway, so if she could either slow him down or switch his direction or get him help, then I think that's what she was looking for.
Yeah.
I don't think she really cared about anybody else in that city but her family.
Right.
I think Oliver convinced her to do the right thing. I mean, Moira was livid.
She looked like she was running, right? She was packing her stuff. She was ready to go.
Yeah, she was. Well, I don't know. I think she was packing
Walter's stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I think she was packing Walter's stuff. But I don't know. I mean, we'll see next season, but I don't really think that he changed her mind to be a better person.
No, I don't either.
I think she was still trying to look out for her family.
But again, like you were saying, pretty much along the same line, if she didn't do that, then Oliver would have been in the Glades when everything went down. So if she could put something to where the police are on it and da-da-da, now he has no reason to try to save people because she doesn't realize that he has the skills that he has as the Hood. She just thinks he's a normal guy.
Well, even as a Hood, he wouldn't be able to really do it all on his own.
So I think her motivation was to get him help whatever he was going to do anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm happy that you want to see the good in her.
I'm happy that you want to see the good. All season long, I've been bashing on that woman.
I'm just kidding.
And she's still,
I love Moira. Come on, you guys.
What do you think? Are you on Team Kaori over here?
I am. Okay. I am. I'm siding with you on this
Thank
one.
You.
Fine, we're split down the middle. What do you guys think? Make sure to go to YouTube and iTunes and let us know.
Yes. In fact, speaking of iTunes, please go to iTunes and go ahead and leave a comment, rate us 5 stars for the next season as well, and leave a comment, and we like giving back.
Yes.
Comments. Mm-hmm. I'm brain farting. So.
It's okay. Yeah, well, let's just go back to the scene really quick because Thea didn't know anything about her mother's whereabouts. At least Oliver did, and he was just playing it off like he didn't. But Thea, when she saw her mother giving the speech, the look on her face was just like,
what a way to find out, right?
Yeah, but the whole time she's thinking, my boy, Roy.
Yeah. I didn't expect that to come out of her mouth.
Of course she was going to do that. I knew it. No. That's exactly where she's going to run, is right in the line of fire, just like Laurel's.
I knew that would eventually happen, but I thought the first thing out of her mouth would be like, Mom, how could you? All this time, you've been lying to me.
She
just went straight to Roy.
She's a young girl with a boyfriend. Everything else is out the window when you're in love.
Anyone else thinking, why didn't she just use her cell phone to call him?
I don't think he has one, though, right? Because remember, he steals everything. He's in the Glades. Does he have a cell phone?
Maybe the reception was bad.
I don't know. But then he did have a cell phone when he was trying to use the navigation. So maybe that was hers. I don't know.
I don't know.
The logical thing would be to call. But why would you do that? You have to go see physically if they're okay.
Yeah, she came to rescue him, guys.
what did you think of the whole Operation Rescue Roy Harper?
Well, you know, I like the scene. Mm-hmm. You see him starting. He already was building a conscience after his life-changing saving moments, but he's now turning into a hero in his own. Like slowly, you're seeing the evolution because it's like he's doing all these things. Like I didn't see because I was looking down taking notes who it was he was trying to save in the alley. But I heard some dudes.
It was an old
grandpa.
Man. It was
okay,
an old
so
man,
I figured,
yeah.
And he takes down the three. And then here comes
two.
And then there's the third one with the gun, and then Thea's like, crack.
No,
yeah.
Well, she threw it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't even know. She's like, I don't know. I guess I'm
the
lucky.
The only thing I didn't like about that whole her going to save him was that when he wanted to save the people on the bus, she left.
That's true.
But didn't he tell her something along the lines of, go save yourself, I won't be, you know.
Yeah,
but that doesn't work.
Still.
How does that work?
You know,
I'm with you there.
I kind of was a little bit disappointed in her of not wanting to save the other people.
Right.
Mm. That she was, that was a little bit of the Myra in her, I thought. That she was just wanting to save her one person that was close to her
and
kind of like forget everybody else.
But Roy did say, you need to leave or else I wouldn't be able to save them anyway. So she's like, all right.
I mean,
but still,
she didn't put up a fight though. It wasn't
she was like, okay. Well, yeah.
She's like, don't text and drive, guys.
Good one.
You
know,
they probably could have all gotten out faster and so could he if she'd have helped. But, you know, whatever. Everybody's got their priorities.
Right. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that Roy didn't get to meet his vigilante in this season.
I actually like that.
Me
I
too.
Like that they stretched it out.
Thank
there
goodness.
Was a lot of things that were too fast, and so
that's
I'm glad
true.
That they stretched this out.
But I think Roy's going to be a fantastic asset once that happens.
Well, yeah. Well, I think now more so than ever because of what happened at the end of the episode. I think that's going to fill that void a little bit.
Oh,
so.
Gosh.
That's how it's all
going to
come together.
They had a moment, though. Thea and Roy had a moment because he was like, did you come rescue me? Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And she says so innocent. She was like, yeah.
No.
And you're like, oh, we just bonded some more.
I'm actually, I know, because didn't they break up?
Yeah, they broke up together, and then, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just
when it's
like,
life and death, all the petty stuff goes out the window.
That's true because we'll talk about the end later.
I know.
I like the apologies. But another really cool like team up was Felicity and Detective Lance.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that was a really, really, really good one. I liked the fact that Detective Lance is depending on the vigilante and his crew to save a whole entire city.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I like that Oliver didn't let her go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he found someone else to do it. He was not going to put her in danger.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at least not in the direct line of it.
Yeah, and I felt really bad for Detective Lass. I thought he might actually cover the bomb or something.
Yeah, I thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
I was like, it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. When he makes this, you know, very emotional call to Laurel.
I was starting to get teary-eyed.
Yeah.
I know.
Finally, and we finally see a little bit of emotion in Laurel, you know,
and
as
she still doesn't leave.
Laurel was super emotional.
Stubborn.
Right,
I mean, she was crying, kissing Oliver, and you guys heard me like, oh, God. She's like... I'm like, dude, you're making out with him. It's fine.
A very emotional time.
Yes.
Tori.
But you know what? It's nice to see Detective Lance be emotional, and it's nice to see him admit that he has been walking around like a ghost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has been emotionless.
I love that he admitted all of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, if you're looking at death in the face, it's probably a good time to tell people. But, true. But, you know, but going back to the theme of sacrifice, he also sacrificed his own position and his own job, yep. Mm-hmm. And told his boss that he's actually been taking notes from the vigilante and has been in communication with him.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge sacrifice.
Yeah, very much so. Because that's saying that you really do trust what this person is calling you and telling you. He's because mm-hmm. for all he knows, which the vigilante wouldn't trick him, but for all he knows, since he's not trustworthy of the vigilante, right. It could be a trap.
And it also mm-hmm. helped that Felicity kind of vouched for the hood in the mm-hmm. beginning when mm-hmm. when Lance yeah. and her had that conversation, and right. she said he's a good person, you know?
Well, the vigilante yeah. did save Laurel a while back when they teamed up, Officer Lance and the vigilante yeah. teamed up. So I think there's a certain amount of trust there that maybe going into season two, there's going to be a completely different interaction between these two.
Well, and we've got to see what happens to him because he's suspended for doing that.
Well, right. we'll so, see what happens.
I mean, because, now that yeah. it all came to light, that it was all true, he'll, you know, I'm sure he'll, like, they'll lighten ask the him to come back and it'll all be fine. Yeah. But I wonder if he's going to choose to.
Right.
Or if he's going to
join the dark
join
side.
The vigilante.
That would be awesome.
That'd be cool if he did join
yeah,
the vigilante.
Yeah, really awesome.
I mean, I really like that there was so much teamwork in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, Oliver let Diggle help him out into the dark lair, pretty much, yeah. and mm-hmm. Diggle almost died.
I liked that, too,
mm-hmm. that he was reassuring him, and you're not alone. You haven't been alone since we joined you.
Right.
Like, we're here for you. You're not, you know, we don't do that. You're not going by yeah. yourself.
Right. And, well, he has a soldier mentality.
Yeah.
You know, one soldier doesn't let another brother go alone.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys hear the musical score in the episode, too? Like, yeah. how dramatic the
yeah,
music was?
It was yeah. really good. Yeah. It went perfectly with yeah. with everything that was yeah. going on. I thought it was great.
Well, my favorite scenes were Tommy and his father speaking to each other.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because Oliver confronts Tommy. Tommy tries to punch him. He falls to the ground because Oliver is basically accusing Tommy's dad, hey, your dad's doing, kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Whatever. Well, the whole conversation even starts. It's not even about that. It's mm-hmm. about Laurel.
Right.
Well, yeah.
And Tommy is the one who confronts Oliver about, well, guess what I did? I took your advice, and you were making out with her.
And Oliver's like, yo, there is a much bigger yeah. issue at hand. Your father is about to annihilate a whole entire city. So Tommy is outraged. Like, how dare you diss my father? Take my girl. I'm going to go talk to my daddy. Daddy. He goes to his dad, mm-hmm. and his dad's like, this is true.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, look at it from Tommy's perspective. At this point, you obviously don't trust Oliver too much. So at this point, it does logically seem like Oliver's full of baloney.
Plus, he's kind of blinded by mm-hmm. his jealousy and just yeah. his anger.
I think
and
deep
his,
down.
You know, it's more so the jealousy, I think, yeah. which, you know.
I think deep down, Tommy yeah. knew that Oliver was telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, he knows his dad, and he knows, but he doesn't want to believe. And that's like the thing we've talked about over and over is when he's always like number two to this person, you don't want them to ever be right about
anything.
He's
any, not number
right.
two in like, my bed.
Tommy,
555. but you know what I mean? It's you never want them to be right. You never want to have to admit that,
right.
especially when you've got that, you know, but that green monster raging.
You know what shocked me was Malcolm not only admits to Tommy, yeah, this is what I'm doing, he lets him listen, makes him listen.
I think that was the cruelest thing.
Yeah.
And the most, that's what showed what kind of evil that
yeah.
that his dad really is when he made him listen to that
It's
message.
Not even, it's just, it's insanity almost.
It's just so cruel and yeah. just mean.
Let me tie the comic into that for this week uh-huh. because issue 32 focused on the conversation that Tommy and Malcolm have in the hospital after the hood saves him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's this inner dialogue in Malcolm's head. Do I tell Tommy the truth? What if he doesn't understand, you know, why I left him for 2 years and where I went and who I trained with? What if he doesn't understand my vendetta? There are all these like things and running through his head, and in the end he just kind of tells Tommy, oh, I have an issue with the Glades, but he doesn't go into detail as to what he actually did when he abandoned him for 2 years. So I mean it kind of sheds the emotional sensitive side of Malcolm mm-hmm. in the comic, which we didn't see in this episode at all. He was ruthless in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to point that out, that Malcolm does have a little bit of a soft side. Well, you guys don't buy it, do you?
I saw that at the beginning when Malcolm was trying to explain what was going on and didn't kill Oliver. I thought that was his perfect chance to kill Oliver because he's his arch enemy. And he did try to kill him when he didn't know it was Oliver at that time. So right. That was like a slight moment of soft-heartedness in him, but obviously it didn't last very long.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he thought he would probably run into the glades and die anyway, trying to save people.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was ready to fight and kill Oliver at that point. He was about to kill Oliver up on the rooftop when Oliver took his arrow and...
And also, when you're dealing with somebody that's that psychotic, he probably wanted him to watch it all happen and then kill him.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, I want you to watch me, what I'm going to do, and know that there's nothing you could do to stop me.
Right.
I think kind of was one of his
key points. Ooh, you smart about that.
He's just, like, crazy. But
it backfired because then Tommy, his own son, ends up in the glades and loses his life. But here's the thing. He straight knocked Tommy out.
Yeah, I thought he was going to hurt him worse, so I'm glad it was just knockout.
What were you guys' feeling when Tommy had a gun pointed at his father's
head? Shoot him! And the dumb thing about it is as Tommy's laying there dying, he asks Oliver, "You didn't kill my dad, did you?" "No." "Thank you."
Yeah, thank you.
What's still his dad? Yeah. No matter what he's done, he's still
You are his dying
dad.
Now because of your dad.
But still, it's still his dad.
And I'm wondering if anyone who finds out that he's a dark archer dies. That's kind of been my thought as soon as Tommy died was, is it that anyone he reveals his secret to is going to die?
Ooh. Well, you know what, though? Speaking of, I'm thinking about Tommy and emotionally, how horrible this episode is for him because he's finding out all these secrets. Yeah. He thinks friend's lying, friend is not lying, dad's a bad guy, dad's the archer now too, and dad hit me in the face. Like, what?
I know.
Yeah.
He got the poop end of the stick in this episode.
Well the whole season.
Yeah, he
actually.
was always getting left. Like, nobody was, like, his dad was never putting him first. It was always, you know, his vendetta and, like, all of that. And when it all boils down to the fact that I think that he was just so guilty that he wasn't the one to be there with his wife when she was calling mm-hmm. and he was ignoring, and that's where it all kind of stems from. And poor Tommy had to just kind of get shoved aside because of that.
But it's such a shame that Malcolm's brain automatically gravitated towards, my wife is dead, she died in front of all these people who walked by her, I'm going to kill everybody. I mean, that's crazy.
Right. Well, it has to be somebody's fault, and if he's not going to take responsibility, it's everybody else's fault.
Right. Well, to say, how about the fact that you weren't picking up your phone, you kept clicking it to voicemail because you were busy working, or the fact that prior to that, you were a workaholic, and wifey probably wanted to spend more time with you, but because you weren't, she had spare time, opened up a clinic, was doing her thing to keep herself occupied.
Now he's lost his son. Like, he's probably losing, or he's already lost everyone that he's trusted or ever loved. He lost Robert.
He lost his mind.
Yeah.
I mean,
first and foremost.
Yeah, I think that was crazy. But let's talk a little bit about the island before we talk about the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the island, we finally figure out pretty much how Oliver escapes the island because they have a chip that takes a missile away from where it's supposed to go, kill the... Yeah. I can't even speak right now. Well, the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so first of all, let's talk about the fight scenes, because there were some hardcore scenes, and it's the first time.
It was a little cheesy for me. I mean, the stunt guy, like, he just, like, hopped off instead of
pushed him.
But I mean, I guess the part that I enjoyed was, this is the first time island version of Oliver just didn't think and reacted and just started pushing and beating up on people. He never did that before.
He was a completely different island Oliver. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was at one point I saw Shadow and she did something with somebody and his back went crack.
Mm-hmm. Like, and she started breaking necks.
Yes,
and
I'm all, go get
it. That's what you expect from Shadow.
Well, yeah, but I just still like seeing a girl
especially because I thought she was shot.
Yeah, yeah,
like, I thought she all was of a sudden too. She's just healed and she's fine.
Apparently.
I don't know.
And then there's
when you're Asian, you can do that.
Apparently.
Okay, well, not me, all right? So we have Slade, we have Shadow, we have Oliver,
and
all
Slade
fighting.
And Slade's hurt.
Yes.
Slade's hurt. Oh, he got shot in the knee, right? Yeah. So he's really hurt.
Mm-hmm. And then Slade, you know, after they managed to save the plane from getting blown up, their island blows up. And
I thought that was smart.
Yeah,
because it's obviously programmed that way to go back and hit the target, the new target, which
was
the camp.
And then Friars is pissed.
Yeah.
And he has Shadow, and In the meantime, we have Slade, who's like, ha ha ha, you suck, Oliver.
Pretty much. Yeah, always cause a disaster, basically.
That's funny.
Make a mess everywhere you go.
And then, you know, we have this superhuman Oliver, or this suddenly strong Oliver, who's like, I can aim, and you have shadow fires, I'm going to shoot you, and he does.
Yeah.
So that was really cool, because that's the pivotal moment for Oliver to change, and he's ready to be on... Mm-hmm. You know,
and but he sacrificed.
Still, yeah.
Sorry, I have to say that was one of the things that Fire said to him was, I basically saying like, I have all the information. I can get you off of this island. Mm-hmm. Are you really willing to risk losing your freedom off this island for this woman?
Mm-hmm.
Guess so.
Yep.
I wonder what's going to happen. Wasn't she casted again for next season?
I believe so.
Because we still have to see. Because if you remember, like, when he finally gets off the island, like, his hair is still so much longer and he's by himself.
Exactly.
So we still have to see, like, how he ends up by himself. And, I mean, this is still, what, like, the first year or so that we're watching now. And we've got four more to go on that island.
I'm really happy they didn't tie up the island in this season. I was hoping that they wouldn't. Because I really enjoy the island
scenes,
actually.
I just thought for some reason that he was going to get off. This was the moment when he got off the island. But
and we still have to see the development of Deathstroke. We haven't entered that realm yet, too.
And he's still not at up to par with where he is now.
And the tattoo.
With the tattoos and the other scars, because it's still not all, you know, there's still so much more to learn from the island.
I'm kind of sad that Yao Fei's gone, though.
Me too.
That was crazy.
Or the fact that they opened up, did you guys notice they opened up the scene and he's like still just like laying on the ground in the background?
Yeah.
Shadow's crying. Well, we need that for Shadow, too.
True. Know. And in a sense, he lost his life for nothing because they ended up deterring the missile, so it's not like they would have even used the video that he filmed.
That's true. Yeah. But, you know, he did give Oliver that knife, so
that's true.
He saved everybody.
Yeah.
So that was good. But let's go to the very, very sad moment when Laurel, because she had to save some files...
Very important files.
You know, a huge block of cement / wall falls on her.
I bet Kaori was like, please be parallel.
You're right. I actually was. I was like, oh, good. Something's going to happen to her.
Okay, but wait, hold on. First of all, Detective Lance and Felicity worked together to disarm the first bomb.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the Dark Archer said was, if I've learned anything as a businessman, it's redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he didn't have to say that. He could have just let the bomb go off.
Yeah.
Not bomb, but earthquake.
Yeah.
Second of all, I feel like because it was placed in a different area, did it maybe hit a certain region that it wasn't anticipated to be hitting? Because why would she be in that area? And why is Felicity
She was at the place
because
she works in the place.
But it was just both parts of it. It was the east and west side. So he had one on the east side, one on the west side. Because that's when Felicity says it was contained to the east side only, past Wells or whatever street she said.
Got it.
So it was just, I think, one on each side.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, of course, it has to be the side where Laurel is. And, of course, Tommy goes straight to her. And she has this big block of cement. And somehow she's intact. No scratches, no blood, no bruises,
no nothing. How
did she
run out? Tell her legs okay.
And he pauses for a moment and lets her know that he loves her.
I like that.
I love you, buddy.
Yeah.
I did not like that.
No, I did, because it's the truth.
That's why he was there.
But it's the truth. But they could talk about romance outside.
Well, they didn't know if they were going to get outside.
That's true. I mean, he didn't know if he'd be able to lift up that block, and he didn't know if she was dying under there, so you want to tell somebody how you feel.
Yeah. And it's, what better last thing to hear than
I
that?
I guess.
Stop it right now.
I know, I'm sorry.
Hater.
I know. I'm just like, so upset that Laurel is
alive.
Well,
it was all her fault. We're gonna blame it all
on
Laurel.
Right now, I'm blaming on her. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure she'll be a better facet in next.
But there's sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. I was just gonna say how confusing for her if Tommy would have survived, because prior to everything going on, when she has that moment with Oliver in Oliver's house about, you know, you left this morning, and he turns around and tells her just about how you are the one person that saw good in me. I didn't change. I love the lines where he's talking about, when I was on the island, it's not that I became a different person. Mm-hmm. Just all, pretty much the bad pieces were being scraped away and it revealed who I truly am. And you saw that person. And I love you.
Did you cry?
Like, yes. Mm-hmm. No.
But I finally felt something there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I finally felt some emotion between them, too. Yeah. Whereas all season we've been saying we can't see the relationship budding, but maybe this is the beginning.
I sense emotion. I just don't want that emotion between those two yet. I'm not okay with it yet.
I think this could make a difference. I mean, it could halt things, as, you know, because of dealing with Tommy's death.
Yeah, exactly.
And how she's going to take it. She's probably going to feel guilty,
herself.
As she should.
No, I think she's going to be more like, I need you, Oliver. And Oliver's going to be like, not right now, after what happened. What? I think it's going to be the other way around.
Maybe. I don't know. I'll be surprised if it is, but we'll see. I don't know.
But how horrifying, just to put yourself in her shoes, though, how horrifying to know, like you said, that somebody came to save your life and he's in there, but to watch it explode. Like, not that I liked the scene, but acting-wise, it was a phenomenal scene as far as her dad holding her back and her just crying.
Yeah,
it was good.
I actually felt
like she cared.
And piggybacking off of that emotional scene into the scene with Oliver and Tommy, where they had their final conversation, you know, they finally made up. It was,
that
tears.
Bromance.
Totally had me tearing up.
And then Oliver saying, it was supposed to be me.
Or he said it should have been.
Should have been me. There you go.
Yeah,
because I guess he should have been the one to save Laurel.
No, maybe? I think he thinks he should have been the one to die. Like, he was ready for that. Because remember, he had his mind already made up that he was going to die, and he knows everything that Tommy went through, and I think it was that. Okay. Like, I'm supposed to be the hero. And not really the hero, but, like, I'm the one that risks my life. I chose this. You didn't. I think it was more like that.
Good.
I don't think it was more so that he should have been the one to save her. I think she was irrelevant. It was like the dying
She's
part.
Irrelevant.
Well, I just in that conversation.
Well, how shocked were you guys when Oliver went in to save Tommy and he took off a big block of cement and there was that huge
rod.
Did not want to
I didn't see that one
no,
coming.
No, I did not see that one coming at all. I was very shocked and sad, and I am a little angry about it.
The moment I saw that rod, that's when I knew Tommy was done. Gone. He was done.
I honestly thought that the building exploded with him in it, because we see Laurel crying at first, and I was like, oh, he's done. But then when we see Oliver going, okay, he's alive. Then he's under a cement block. His legs are probably squished. And then he lifts
Was not expecting the rod.
Yeah.
I think we predicted everybody else in the show that could have been sacrificed except for Tommy,
See, that's funny because we actually went the other way around. We predicted that Tommy was going to be stronger and more alive and more powerful, and it was the polar opposite of our predictions. Completely out of left field.
Yeah. But maybe this will create more strength for one of the other characters, you know, or, you know, kind of lead into how these other characters develop. So that'll be the, you know, his additional sacrifices to kind of do that, but I'm sad to see him go.
Me too.
Yeah,
he was getting so good, and I was, you know, really like siding with him, and I wanted to see where it was gonna go. And
or couldn't like one good thing happen to him for him before he got killed off the show?
Well, I mean, he died kind of happy because Laurel was alive. Yeah.
I guess.
He died as a hero. He's the one. Because that's one thing that Oliver did tell him. Because doesn't he say, did you save her? Did she get out? And he says, you did. You got her out. Yeah. You saved her. And that's, I think he just really wanted to be the one to do it. So that was good.
Yeah. Aww. Goodbye, Tommy. We will miss you. Come visit in Ghost Spirit or come down to the TV and hang out with us.
Right?
Now you have time on Wednesday night. It'd be perfect.
Way to make light of the situation.
Welcome anytime.
Okay, Myra. Always thinking about yourself.
Right? Excuse me, guys. Excuse me. I just had... this is for all of us.
I know. I'm teasing.
Is there anything else in this episode that we want to talk about?
I don't think so.
Yep. Okay, well, guys, let's go to your news and gossip.
Yes.
AfterBuzz.
So I'll go ahead and go first because your stuff is like really cool and it'll beat out my cool stuff. So something I had read, it was an interview that was done with one of the producers, and they were talking about the scene with the missile hitting the airplane. Did anybody else catch the name of the airline?
No,
you did not. Okay, so I'm going to read it to you because I don't want to mess it up. Ferris Air Jetliner, which is connected to a name from the Green Lantern. And so it's something that they were alluding to because in the future, the Green Lantern does make a few appearances in the Green Arrow comic book. And at first, the producers were like, oh, we want to keep Arrow as realistic as possible, so we're not going to have stuff supernatural going on. But because he plays such a huge part in the Green Arrow, it's something that they've contemplated. And also, on top of that, the two producers were also scriptwriters, if I'm saying that correct. I believe they were scriptwriters for the Green Lantern. So they have the hookup, and the one guy was just saying, you know, I do have Ryan's phone number around here somewhere. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Yes, please. Can you call him, please?
That would be awesome.
I would agree. Yeah. Or come down to Buzz TV.
Yeah, you know, we'll just take Ryan. I mean, you can give him our number.
Absolutely.
All men welcome.
Yes. Okay, so that was my brief news and gossip, and Anne has really cool stuff to talk about.
Well, that's really exciting, actually.
Well, really quick, right before you do yours, let me just say, I was reading an interview with Colin Donnelly, who plays Tommy, and he found out, actually, at the end of February that his character was going to end.
Ew.
And
can you
he says, you know, that the producers came up to him, like, really cool, wanted to talk to him, and he was like, oh my gosh, you know, what are they going to talk to me about? Maybe it's going to be about what's happening in season two.
Oh no.
And he says, obviously the meeting quickly took a mournful turn. And he said that they just kind of said, like, hey man. And I was like, oh, he was like, oh man, you're killing me off. Like, that's all they said. It's like, hey, and he said he doesn't think that Tommy was this season's sacrifice, but he didn't, because he didn't have really anything to contribute. But he says he was one character with deep ties to the entire family. So he feels like that with this death, it's going to be incredibly important to Laurel's development for the next season and will have a profound impact on kind of her character for that. Aww. So we'll see what happens to that. But I mean, like, the way he talks about it was just kind of like funny. But it's
just said, you know, you're fired.
I know, they didn't even get it all out, and he was like, man, I knew it. Like, I knew it.
It wasn't just so you know you're fired, just so you know you did.
Yeah, you died.
You don't even have the chance of coming back.
Can you just put me in a coma or something?
Oh man.
And it's just, and his name is Colin Donald. Did I say Donnelly?
Yeah.
I was thinking Kevin Connolly.
Oh.
Like backwards. Sorry, Colin Donald. I'm sorry.
Say that three times.
I know. Say it really. Okay. Now tell us your awesome news.
Okay. Yes. So I had the opportunity to attend the F Cancer event last week, and Stephen Amell was hosting the event. And I happened to run into somebody at the event. I don't know if we can show the photo. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies can't see it, but it is Stephen Amell with me, and we did have a chance to talk.
Yeah, go on YouTube. Just check out the photo.
Yeah, please. And I mentioned that, you know, I'm one of the hosts on AfterBuzz. And he totally came out and said, I love the show. You know, I'm excited you guys have one episode left. Asked him if he could get on, and he said he definitely wants to get on After Buzz for season two. Unfortunately, he's traveling. He's in New York right now on hiatus. He's going to be traveling to several countries to promote Arrow because I guess it's very big internationally.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say verbally that he will be with us for season two.
Yeah,
so Stephen Amell, we'll hold you to that.
Can you tell us a little bit about the event itself?
Yeah, sure. It was a great event. you know, your ticket was the shirt, which promoted the event as well.
Right.
And all of the proceeds went to cancer research. And for each color that you were wearing, it represented a different type of cancer. So for Stephen, obviously, for those that are aware, his mother had breast cancer. Mm-hmm. She's a survivor. So his whole family was there supporting him as well. And it was just a very good vibe. You know, everyone was having a good time, and it was really nice to see that he was supporting the whole thing.
What color was yours?
Mine was teal, actually. It was for ovarian cancer.
Oh, cool.
Right. So it was a really neat event, and it was a good way to promote it to, I think, the younger audience.
Yeah, definitely. Right? To kind of make them aware.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's great.
Yeah.
So look out for another event from them, too.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you did tell me something that he was, very...
Uh-oh. So, I did have to, go like this to say hi, you know? So I kind of...
She had his arm in a little bit.
He's rock solid. He's like this table.
Oh, that's awesome.
Those muscles are not airbrushed on. Those are real. Just so you guys know.
I'm jealous. I know, right?
I was jealous.
Hey,
that's awesome.
When he comes in for season two, you'll see what I'm talking about.
I don't think I've ever seen you blush so much before. Look
at you. All right. Awesome. No more news.
All right. Predictions.
And now,
that's hard.
You're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
I wasn't talking about his body.
All right, who's going first?
From all this laughing right now. Go.
Me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
She's
what do I think is going to happen next season? I don't know. I'm sad. I don't want to see. I want Tommy to come back. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't think the Dark Archer's dead.
No.
I definitely don't think that. I think that he's wounded, but he's definitely coming back. I think Tommy's death is definitely going to have a negative impact on Laurel in the beginning, and I think that's going to cause some friction with her and Ollie. And I think that the whole thing with, you know, Myra went to jail, so we've got to see kind of what happens with that, if it sticks or if they can figure out a way for her not to serve any time or what happens. And also, I think Thea is going to get a little bit darker maybe because of what she finds out from her mom and how her mom knew that about her father's death and was keeping all of that from her. So I think that's going to, you know, take a turn with the whole, like, speedy development in that situation. So I'm still really curious to see how that's going to play out.
Well, I was going to say, before, she supported Roy and what he was doing, and it was just kind of like, okay, if that's what's important to you, it's important to me. Mm-hmm. But now I think it's going to be a thing that is important to her because of that. Because now she's wronging her mother's rights. But I'm wondering, when is Team Roy and Thea going to find out about Team Oliver and his crew and become one huge crew? Mm-hmm. And also, to piggyback off of what you were saying about Malcolm, if he is still alive, which I'm sure he probably is, he's got to be in hiding because the police, everybody knows that he is the one that orchestrated this whole entire thing. So now he's either going to have a new disguise or have some sort of protege follow through with whatever it is that he wants.
There's
going to
be new villains too, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Repeat offenders and new ones. And
all the ones we didn't see die in this season are going to come back to haunt Oliver too.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see, like you guys said, the development of Roy Harper and Thea. Hopefully Diggle will continue to play a role. Hopefully he's not too wounded.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I mean, the blade was pretty dead on, but then he managed to get up the staircase.
No. This is what I feel like. When the thing was thrown at him and we saw it, it almost looked like it went in his heart. And then later on, when we saw him limping around, it was almost a few inches over into his shoulder.
I think it was more in his shoulder than it was. Yeah.
Like on this side or something.
I think it was, I don't think it was fatal. Oh. I think he's going to be all right.
Do you guys think that we might see Tommy in some flashbacky moments? Or?
I think that Laurel, what you were saying as far as maybe that will fuel the fire to start her progression into the Canary, definitely. I feel like her and Oliver, I'm wondering when he's going to let out his secret to her, but either way, I feel like they might start to bond and fall in love, but she might be so distracted with somehow avenging Tommy's murder. Not murder, but in a sense, third-party murder. You know, that maybe she'll start to pull away from him, not intentionally, but like, I need to learn how to do whatever.
Well, I wonder if she's going to kind of turn on her on her kind of alliance with the Arrow, with the Hood, because, you know, he couldn't save him. So I wonder if that's going to be a kind of a negative thing where she's going to be a little bit angry about that and then wanting to even more kind of morph into that character to kind of stand up to him.
That'd be funny, though, because I feel like Officer Lance is now going to be a lot closer.
Yeah, and I think I think it may switch a little bit because I think she's going to look for someone to blame. She can't blame herself, and, you know, he should have been there to save her. Somebody, I don't know. I think it might, you know, have a little bit of a negative thing.
What about the island, guys? What do you think is going to happen on the island?
I'd love to see more development of, you know, both Shadow and Slade, and then eventually Slade Wilson into Deathstroke. I think we abandoned that idea for a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that it needs to come back, and they really need to develop him.
See, and that's the one part of the article that I read what I was talking about earlier, as far as we know the skeleton of what we think is supposed to happen, but not how. Mm-hmm. And they really want to play with his character in particular, is what I had read. So,
and talk about protege for Dark Archer. Deathstroke would be the perfect protege for him.
That's true.
But do you think that he just comes back? Like, do you think that something's going to happen on the island that's going to change him, and he just comes back when Oliver comes back and goes his own way, and then, I don't know, becomes a bad guy? Or do you think the bad guyness happens on the island?
Yeah, I think he comes to the island as Deathstroke. If they're, again, they're not following the comics very well, but if they follow the comics, he'll come to the island as Deathstroke.
I feel like Slade Wilson,
I mean, to Starling City, excuse me.
Oh.
I feel like Slade Wilson has a thing for Shadow a little bit.
Yeah.
He's not really feeling the fact that Oliver keeps getting distracted by her.
I can agree
with
that.
So we'll see what happens. I wonder if Deadshot's going to come back. He has to, because that's Diggle's arch nemesis.
Yeah, I don't think that's the last we've seen of him. I think he'll definitely be back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, that wraps up the season finale. Oh. But in the meantime, you can continue to go to YouTube, iTunes, leave comments. We will comment back all hiatus long, because we love to talk about it anytime. In the meantime, you can also follow us. Where at?
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Kelly with an IE 079.
She has cute pictures of her dog. And you can follow me at KAORIOUS on everywhere.
And I'm Alicona Bradford. You can follow me at Kiss My Passport.
And you can follow me at Ann Campy on Twitter.
And you can follow all of us here at AfterBuzzTV.com. And we will see you when everything
next season.
Comes back.
Next season. Bye, yeah. Guys. Bye. We'll miss you.
Miss you. Thank
From
you.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.